The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection. Support comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org. And New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us for the first time is Paul Wolf, president of the New York Coalition for Open Government, which describes itself as a nonpartisan, not-for-profit organization comprised of journalists, activists, attorneys, educators, news media organizations, and other concerned citizens who value open government and freedom of information. You can find out more at nyopengov.org. That's nyopengov.org. Welcome, Paul.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, your organization, and whether we are really in danger about open government.
Sure. So I've been an attorney for 30 years, and I have worked at a variety of different government jobs where I dealt with the open meetings law and freedom of information law. And I left government work, and I'm now in private practice. But as a private citizen, I'm still interested in these issues. And I was having my own problems with getting responses to FOIL requests and open meeting issues. And I thought, you know, maybe we should form a group. There's got to be, I know there's other individuals like me and reporters that keep having difficulties. And maybe if we form a group and work together, we can make an impact. So back in 2018, we started this organization and it has continued to grow. And I think the state of open government in New York is a real problem.
Well, that's interesting. So tell us a little bit more about why it's a problem.
Well, one of the things that's interesting about New York is there is no entity that enforces the open government laws, that monitors compliance with the law. So what our organization has done is we do several reports a year where we take a look and our local governments complying with the law as far as holding executive sessions properly. Are they posting, you know, meeting documents online? We track in some reports how they respond to FOIL requests. And every report that we have done, quite honestly, the results have been dismal. There really is just general noncompliance with a lot of New York State's laws, and there's no consequence. I mean, the only enforcement is you as a private citizen have to hire an attorney, which is not easy. In other states, you can go to the attorney general, or there's an entity with enforcement powers that can issue determinations and fines, and we don't have any of that in New York. All we have is the power of the media to embarrass government officials and point out that they're not complying with the law.
Can you give us one story of such a noncompliance that you stepped in on?
Sure. So we did a report last year where we took a look at school boards and how they do their executive session motions. Very easy report to do. We take a look at their meeting minutes. What does the motion say when going into executive session? And what many of them say is, well, we're going into executive session to discuss a personnel matter. We're going into executive session to discuss litigation. Well, that really doesn't tell the public much of anything. The law requires there to be some specifics. If you're going to discuss litigation, provide the name of the litigation, the name of the lawsuit. If you're going to discuss a personnel matter, well, is it to hire someone, to fire someone, to discipline someone? You don't have to state the name, but give us some information so we have some understanding of what's being discussed behind closed doors. And when we do that report, we find like 80% of school boards were not complying in doing a proper executive session motion. You know, that's just one example. And I think a lot of it is because of just bad habits. Well, this is the way we've always made these motions and no one's ever questioned it. But it's not in compliance with the law.
So can you tell us a story? I think people understand stories, which is, here's a case which we stepped in on. You don't have to give the person's name, but here's something we stepped in on, and here's the result.
I mean, we frequently get requests from individuals, look, my town board made a motion to go into executive session, and I don't think they did it properly. And, you know, as I said, they stated was litigation. Shouldn't there be more information? And we send a letter to the town board pointing out that, look, there are opinions from the New York State Committee on Open Government. There are legal decisions which say that just stating personnel matter is not sufficient. Now, some public bodies say, thank you very much, and we will do better, and we'll fix that. Other public bodies just simply ignore us. And, you know, so that's just one example of how we try to help.
You won a lawsuit against Niagara County back in 2020. What was that about?
Yeah, very interesting. You know, local elected officials in many municipalities are required to fill out an annual financial disclosure form. Many elected officials are part-time, so there's really a lot of ways there could be a conflict of interest. This form requires them to disclose where they earn income from, what investments they have, debts, things of that nature. That's a public record. I have filed FOIL requests in other municipalities and gotten them without any problem. Niagara County, we filed a FOIL request and they denied it, saying they had a local law that said their disclosure forms were secret. I was like, are you kidding me? And I looked, and they did. They had a local law that said their financial disclosure forms are secret, that only the sheriff, the district attorney, and their ethics boards can see them. And I pointed out to them, our organization did, that that's not in compliance with the Freedom of Information law. There is no such thing as a secret disclosure form. And they said, well, that's our law. If you don't like it, sue us.
Yeah.
And we did. And with the assistance of the University of Buffalo Law School, we won that lawsuit. It never should have gone to court. There should have been a reasonable county attorney that said, you know what, they're right. Instead, they took the stubborn attitude of sue us, and then we will only release them if ordered by a judge. Well, the judge ordered them to release them.
Now, Paul Wolf, let me ask you this. Obviously, the kind of thing you're talking about is something that we've talked about here with the representatives of the press over the years. Is there a relationship between your organization and the various press organizations which want to get information out?
Yes, we have a great relationship in that I have many reporters that will contact us with questions and concerns. We have several reporters that are a member of our organization. In fact, just yesterday, I got invited to speak at the New York Press Association's conference that they're having in Saratoga. So we do work closely with members of the news media because our reports get great media coverage by the press, and that's really helpful in bringing about change. So the two kind of go hand in hand together. The reporters are definitely interested in getting information, and we try to assist them as best as we can with providing opinions and advice on how they can get what they're looking for.
Now, I know, Paul, that you have been a critic of the open meetings law in New York State, called it surprisingly weak, in need of reform, and you've brought bills before the legislature which have resulted in some open meeting law changes. Can you bring us all in on that?
Sure. A lot of people are surprised at how weak New York's law is in that, for example, you do not have a legal right to speak at your town board city council meeting. Many municipalities allow you to speak, but they don't have to. And there are some that actually don't. The Erie County Legislature up in Buffalo does not allow you to speak at their meetings. The Buffalo Common Council does not allow you to speak at their full meetings. You can speak at committee meetings only. So while most municipalities allow the public to speak, they don't have to. That's not true in other states. In other states, the law mandates that the public be heard. Until recently, New York didn't even mandate that you had to post meeting minutes online. We got that changed in the last legislative session. You know, in today's day and age with websites and, you know, there's no reason why meeting minutes should not be posted online. Many took the position, well, if you want them, ask for them. We'll give them to you. As I said, the law has no real enforcement mechanism, which is not true in many other states.
Do you ever put yourself into the place of the people, you know, who don't want to give you information? Do you ever say, well, if I were running an organization, you know, I wouldn't want every Tom, Dick, and Harry to have this information?
I do. I have great respect for people that run for public office. It's not an easy job. We need good people to do it. Stepping into that arena is not an easy task. You are frequently criticized, which is not easy. Robert Freeman, who was the former head of the Committee on Open Government, he stated one time that all this resistance stems from basically that people not wanting to be embarrassed, that many government officials seek to withhold information because they just don't want to be embarrassed. And I understand that, but, you know, that's just not the way to conduct public business. You need to provide information. You need to be open. And yes, it's difficult at times, but, you know, it just comes with the territory.
Now, you're putting up bills before the legislature. It's hard not to understand that both houses of the legislature are firmly now in the hands of the Democrats. Does that make any difference?
I don't think it really does. You know, the one thing about open government is I think Republicans and Democrats are equally bad at it. Whichever party is in the minor party in some municipality, they always, you know, clamor for more open government. And then when the tables flip and they come into power, well, now they're the one withholding information. So it really is a nonpartisan issue. Both parties are bad at it. We criticize Republican bodies just the same as Democratic bodies, and there really seems to be no difference.
And yet you seem to be having some progressive results now that the Democrats are in charge. Am I just dreaming that up?
Last year was the first time we ever made an attempt to get legislation passed. We were fortunate to get two bills passed with the support of legislator Amy Paulin from Westchester County and Senator Anna Kaplan. They introduced two bills. Pretty minor, in my opinion, but significant in that these were the first two changes to the open meetings law in over 10 years. Minor in that, it's shocking that, you know, this isn't already a law. The one bill that we got passed mandated that if you're holding a meeting, you have to post your meeting documents online at least 24 hours before a meeting. I mean, I think 24 hours is pretty minimal. It should really be 72 hours but the fact that we had to get legislation to mandate the posting of meeting documents in 24 hours is pretty sad, but nonetheless an accomplishment. And the other bill was mandating that meeting minutes be posted online.
Well, let me ask you this. We have a new governor, Kathy Hochul. How is she on these issues?
I think it's too early to tell. I mean, she did sign both of these bills that the legislature passed. Again, I think that's a pretty easy task to sign these bills. She has stated that, you know, transparency is going to be a key part of her administration. Quite honestly, we've heard that before. Andrew Cuomo proclaimed he was going to have the most transparent administration ever, and it, by all accounts, was far from it. So politicians will always talk a good game that they're in favor of transparency. I think the jury is still out yet on Ms. Hochul as to whether she truly is committed to transparency, and we'll have to see.
You sounded somewhat critical of the way in which Andrew Cuomo acted when he was governor. Is that right?
That's true. I think he was terrible on the issue of open government.
Could you give us some four examples?
Sure. I mean, he made a big issue out of he was going to post his meeting schedule every day so public can be aware of what he was doing. Well, what he ended up posting was the governors in New York City. Well, that's great, but Who's he meeting with? What's he doing? He was terrible, his administration, in responding to FOIL requests. It's come to light since he left that there was this whole process where FOIL requests were vetted, and if they came from reporters or others or politically controversial, you know, they went a different route, and that's not how the law is supposed to work. The governor and many of his department heads would communicate through devices that, you know, left no record of, you know, their Snapchat and things of that nature. There's no record of their communications. That's not a transparent way to conduct business. Several newspapers had to take Cuomo to court several times over FOIL issues. So again, he was not good, in my opinion, on open government.
So what does FOIL stand for?
Freedom of Information Law.
Just so that everybody gets it. And that's what we're talking about. And that's what we're talking about here with Paul Wolf, president of the New York Coalition for Open Government. Now, what about levels of government? So in other words, county governments are different from the state government. What about different levels of government? What is your finding, Paul, when you're thinking about, when you're describing what's going on in New York State?
We have done reports where we've taken a look at villages, we've taken a look at towns, cities, counties, and there really doesn't seem to be much difference. It's interesting at sometimes, the argument is, well, we don't have the resources. Well, we've done reports where very small communities with not large budgets are doing great as far as open government. And then, you know, on the flip side, we have large communities with lots of budgets and staff and resources, and they're not so great. So I don't think it's a matter of resources. I think it's a matter of commitment. And, you know, like I say, no other entity has really done reports like we are, where we're monitoring compliance with the law. We really need to have some type of enforcement entity created in New York.
Is there any way to hold public officials responsible other than suing them? I mean, is there a publicity issue here? How do you bring some guts to this whole thing?
Yeah, the only success we've had is through our reports and the media coverage it brings. As we said earlier, you know, government officials don't like to be embarrassed. They don't like bad press. So we've been successful in bringing about some changes due to media reports. We have resorted to lawsuits on at least one occasion. But, you know, other than that, it's very difficult to hold government officials accountable. In other states, you can fine a public body for noncompliance with the law. We don't have that in New York. In other states, the attorney general has the authority to investigate and file a lawsuit against the municipality or bring charges against the municipality. And we don't have that in New York. The New York State Committee on Open Government is a great resource, but they only have advisory powers. And I've had local officials say, yeah, well, that's their opinion. That's all it is an opinion. Mm-hmm. So we need more teeth in the law. We need the ability either to give the Committee on Open Government more power or to empower the attorney general to do these types of things.
So, Paul Wolf, when you speak with, I take it you do, the chair of the relevant committees in both houses of the legislature, what are you getting back?
Well, I really don't. I send emails to legislators, and quite honestly, I get very little back. Same thing with emails at the local level. Whenever we send emails to government officials, 90% of the time they're ignored, quite honestly. It's a sad state. I don't even get a thank you for the information, I will look into it. You get nothing. And it's amazing you don't even get a form thank you for contacting my office. So, you know, other than a few legislators like Legislator Paulin, who has a tremendous track record in getting bills passed, she's really very prolific in getting legislation passed. I sent her an email just like I did the 250 other legislators, and she responded one time, I think it was a Friday night at 10 p.m., and said, I like your ideas. Let's talk. And that's been great. But otherwise, it's pretty silent.
What about police and accountability? We're hearing a lot about that as public servants. Their behavior, communications, is it transparent?
Not as transparent as it could and should be. You know, New York did change the law back in 2019. For the longest time, police disciplinary records were confidential and not provided to the public. Although the law has been changed, many police departments are still resisting providing information, and there's been lawsuits all across the state now. So it just goes to show you, you get this victory in getting legislation passed, but now implementing it has been a whole nother problem with just refusal to provide records, and now that's being litigated.
Is it your sense, Paul, that the people like you, people like me, want this to happen? Or that, who cares?
No, I think people do want open government. One of the interesting things about the pandemic, which showed is, once the pandemic hit and meetings were done virtually, and the only way people could see their meetings was to watch it online, the number of people watching government meetings was astounding. I mean, 17,000 people one time tuned in to watch a Buffalo Common Council meeting on Facebook. In some smaller communities, there's been like 1,000 people watching a city council meeting. Never have that many people physically showed up at a meeting. So it just goes to show you that people are interested. And if we make it easy for them to participate and to see what's going on, they'll do it. It's very difficult to leave your office, leave your house, to physically go to a meeting, all the things people have going on. But if they can watch it live stream or watch a recording afterward, the numbers show people are interested.
I used to talk to my students about, okay, you want open government, but there is such a thing as a conversation in front of the urinal in the men's room, which is where some of the real decisions get made. What do you think?
Well, that's true. While virtual meetings have been, a great thing, we shouldn't just have all virtual meetings. I think there's certainly something to be said for going in person, looking your elected official in the eye, and being able to ask a question in person. We favor a hybrid approach where you should be able to do both. And hopefully we're coming out of this pandemic. We'll get back to in-person meetings. But we should also continue to live stream and allow people to participate remotely. Many places, when they were doing these virtual meetings, just stopped taking public comments at all. Again, they're not legally required to do so, but it's not that hard to give a call-in number for people to make their comments or to comment by video, but a lot of that's not happening.
Now, we hear about lawmakers who use untraceable phones or phones that immediately delete correspondence between public officials as well as staff. Former Governor Cuomo was said to have done this. I don't know if he did. I just know he's said to have. Is this legal? If not, how do you stop it?
Yeah, that is a real problem. And the Cuomo administration was noted for doing that. There is an exception in the law as well that interagency communications do not necessarily have to be disclosed through a FOIL request. So that's an issue. But, records should be preserved. We should know who's, influencing things, whether by a disappearing text or phone call. And it seems like elected officials will go to very creative lengths to avoid having records that are, the public can obtain. And that's a problem. That's why I was going to start taking a look at how other states have addressed that issue. I don't know.
Yeah, there is a certain kind of public, sense in different states, the way that this kind of thing is approached. I remember when I was a younger man by a lot, I wrote a book about the Wisconsin state legislature. And, I was used to going into New York State meetings where the staff would be there and there would be all these extra people. You go in Wisconsin and, those legislators came in, they rolled up their sleeves and they did the work. There was a difference in the public sense of what a legislator ought to be doing. Now, are you finding that in New York compared to other states?
I have certainly looked at the open meetings law in other states. And as I said, I think New York is this week in which a lot of people are shocked to find out, well, doesn't New York lead the way on so many things? Well, perhaps, but not in the area of open government. California, Florida, they have stronger open meeting laws in many ways. And that's the approach we plan to take, is to say, look, 10 other states do it this way. Why can't New York? So hopefully we will have some impact with that.
Well, we're very happy to have had Paul Wolf, president of the New York Coalition for Open Government, on this week's Capital Connection. And Paul, keep doing what you're doing. It is so important. I've been watching this. It's sometimes it amounts to scandalous behavior when in a democracy from the people, demos, we can't hear what is going on. And thank you so much for doing it. And thanks for being with us on the Capital Connection, Paul Wolf.
Thank you so much for inviting me and for the great reporting that you do. I mean, it's through people like you that this information all comes to light.
Okay. We'll talk to you again, I'm sure. Thanks again.
Thanks.
The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Or visit us online anytime at WAMC.org, or you can even schedule a podcast. And join us again next week at this same time for another Political Conversation with Alan Chartok. I'm your producer, David Gustina. Thanks for listening.